He said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. For years, we've heard a lot of talk in the church about the new evangelization. Of course, the word evangelization comes from the Latin word evangelium, which comes from the Greek word, which means good news, which we normally translate as gospel. So sometimes people use the term new evangelization to mean a new effort to bring the good news of the gospel to all the people of the world. The people overseas and who haven't heard the gospel ever, and then also to the people next door. But the term new evangelization was actually used originally by the church to mean something just a little bit different than that. Back in the 1980s, when St. John Paul II first started using that term, he was talking about the people and nations whose cultures had already been formed and immersed in Christianity for centuries, but who no longer understood even the basics of the gospel of Jesus. And so he called for a new evangelization of these people, really a re-evangelization of quasi-Christians, or if you will, cultural Christians. And he said that the new evangelization must first begin not only with those who are marginally or culturally Christian, but also those who are trying to be devout Christians. In other words, the new evangelization begins by evangelizing ourselves, you and me. We also don't know everything about the gospel or Jesus that we should. And we love Jesus, but we don't love him enough. And so the new evangelization, in this the church calls us to begin by renewing our own knowledge of the gospel and growing in our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So when I came to the parish almost 10 years ago, when I was looking at, okay, how will I evangelize, I decided that I would evangelize primarily you, my parishioners, to make you stronger in the faith, and then from that, you know, then we can build up and we can go out to others. But first, we have to know it ourselves. We have to have something to share before we can share it with others. Now, a couple weeks ago, I forget if it was either my column or my homily, I wrote about making New Year's resolutions. And I suggested that instead of making the usual kind of resolutions like, you know, better time management or losing weight, that instead of that, we make resolutions that would lead us closer to Jesus. Today, I propose to you that we make these resolutions a concerted effort to continue the new evangelization of our parish and of ourselves. So, how do we do this? First, we begin with the moral life. Scripture tells us today that when Jesus began preaching the gospel, it said the very first words it records him saying were, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." Repent, do away with sin, live the moral life. To live with Jesus and walk in the way that he shows us, we have to live as he does, which is always moral. Can you imagine Peter and Andrew, James and John walking down the road with Jesus and cussing or talking badly about other people? Or can you imagine them telling off-color jokes in front of Jesus? No. Well, we walk with Jesus too. At least we say we do. We need to get rid of the sins in our life. Now, of course, we want to get rid of all of them, but, you know, when you try to do, you know, try to do everything all at once, it can be discouraging and then we give up sometimes. So I do encourage you to get rid of all sin, okay? But one of the things you do is focus in particular on some big things that you need to change. Either big sins or vices that just keep ruining things and setting you up for big problems. And don't just make a general resolution. Think about particular things, one or two particular sins that this year I'm going to fight. Then there's the life of charity. How can we love Jesus if we don't love as he loves? And so we resolve to work on a particular area of charity. For example, maybe you begin with the family. Maybe you resolve to be a more patient parent, or maybe a more attentive spouse, or maybe a more considerate or loving son or daughter. Or maybe you decide to be more patient with people at work, and not just the one that, you know, that your buddy that you get along with and sometimes he drives you nuts, but, you know, the person that really, really annoys you. Work on changing your behavior with him, to being patient. Again, pick one or two things in particular. I mean, again, try, you know, to be loving to everybody, but pick one or two things that you could work on. So at the end of the year, you can see that you've accomplished this, and if you have accomplished it, you've accomplished something great. And then your prayer life. How can you know someone if you don't talk to him or listen to him? And that's what prayer is a conversation with God. So make a resolution to do something this year to improve your prayer life. Something big or something small, but commit to pray a little more or a little better. And then there's a life of grace. The grace especially that comes to us in the sacraments. We really can't enter into a deeper relationship with Jesus unless he helps us to do it. Unless he gives us his grace and we're open to that grace. So resolve to partake of the sacraments more often or more devoutly this year in one way or another. Maybe go to Mass once during the week, or maybe resolve to go to confession at least once a month. Or maybe resolve when you go to Mass on Sunday, you're really going to focus, especially maybe, okay, resolve to a specific thing. In the Eucharistic prayer, I'm really going to focus on what is happening. Something like this. Be specific and commit yourself. And how can you know a person if you know nothing about them? So you need to educate yourself about Christ and his bride, the church. I have 3 advanced degrees in theology, and I still am learning things about Jesus and about the church. And about, I mean, there's 2,000 years of beautiful theology out there, and I hardly know any of it. I'm sure that there's something you could learn this year. There's so many ways to do that nowadays. We try to have different guest speakers come. We have them every year, throughout the year. We have the Advent series, the Lent series. We have RCIA you can go to. You can read all sorts of Catholic books. We have the great Catholic library downstairs. You can go online. We have form.org you can use for free, which is, you know, a great website. But there's also other websites. There's so much you can do this year, but make a resolution for one or two particular things you're going to do this year. And then commit to that and do that. But the thing is, the Christian life begins and ends with being loved by Jesus and loving him in return. But that love has to be lived, and it's not lived in a vacuum. And so for those who love and follow Jesus, he draws us all, by his grace, to be one with him, and through him, to be one with each other. We're supposed to be so unified that he calls us his own body, the body of Christ. And so to live and love as the body of Christ, we have to live a life of love with each other. And that is the life of the church. And it is lived out in a very concrete way in the life of a parish. The life of love and mutual service, following the example of the one who said, "I have come not to be served, but to serve." And then told us, "Follow me." Whether it's serving one another as an usher or an altar boy or in the choir and the youth group, making meals for sick mothers, organizing parish dinners, whatever it is. This is a way of living the life of love together as a parish. Now, it's true that the church is much bigger than just the parish. And there are many ways to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ in the context of the larger church. I mean, you could get a job working, you know, for the bishop, or you could simply live a devout life at your job and be a good example to others and share the gospel with them there. These are all ways that you can do this. But And the largest of the church brings many blessings. For one, the realization that of the depth and breadth of man's response to Christ, as we see 2 billion Christians worldwide. But the thing is, we all need a place to call home. And sometimes we can get lost in a crowd. This is one important reason why the Catholic Church is organized not simply into dioceses, but also into parishes, mainly along geographic lines. Small geographic areas so that Catholics living close to each other can actually share something of a common life together as a family. Now, sadly, some people think of the parish only as the place they go to Mass to on Sunday. It is that, but thanks be to God, it's so much more than that. The word parish itself comes to us from the Latin word parochia, which comes from the Latin word parochus. And parochus means, that's me, and it means the householder. And you are the household. In other words, home, the family. Parish really is another word for the family. Or it should be. It should be a place where we find real opportunities, concrete opportunities, to live and love and learn as Christian brothers and sisters and fathers. In today's second reading, St. Paul writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. Now, of course, as this letter is being written, the Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write what he writes. And the Holy Spirit has in mind not only the church in Corinth, but the whole church throughout the ages. So the Holy Spirit's writing to us. But St. Paul, in his limited human understanding of what he's doing, he simply thinks he's writing to Corinth, to the people in Corinth, the Catholics in Corinth, around the year 60 AD. Today we would call this the Diocese of Corinth. But in reality, the church in Corinth was smaller in size, both geographically and numerically, than the parish of St. Raymond of Pignafore. He was writing to them and emphasizing both the need for the unity of the whole Catholic Church, but also in the context of that Catholic unity, specifically the unity of each other with each other in the Church of Corinth. And the Holy Spirit says the same thing to us today, the Church in St. Raymond of Pignafore Parish. Now, the church is huge, and we can sometimes have a hard time finding a place in it that we feel like we're home, where we have a sense of belonging. Some say the parish is huge, too, but, you know, really, this is, our parish is actually an average-sized parish. Actually, I figured it out once. You know, I'm a numbers guy, and so we're right in the middle. We are the average-sized parish in the diocese. The parish isn't that huge, but it is an important place where we come to understand that we belong to Christ and His church and to help other people understand that. But even so, some people do think it's too big. People come to me and say, the parish is too big and I can't get to know anybody. Well, the parish is only too big if you don't get involved in some way in a smaller activity in the group, in the parish, that will help you to understand that you're part of the wider parish. On a practical level, by becoming more active in small ways, in small groups, in this relatively small parish, you can experience and grow in the love of the church, the body of Christ, and so draw deeper into the love of Jesus Himself. So let me give you an example of this. You may have heard this story already because I've told it before. But I once knew a man who was in his late 20s. Long story short, he was a pretty good Catholic. He loved Jesus, he came to Mass every Sunday, went to confession once a month, lived a pretty good moral life, knew more about the Catholic faith and the Bible than most people, most Catholics, and he loved being a Catholic, but he didn't feel like he had a home, like he belonged in a particular place. Now, we can do that in the Catholic Church, we can belong everywhere, you know, because the Catholic Church is so big, but it's good to have some place that's home, that gives us a direction. And so one day he decided to volunteer and to teach at his parish high school CCD program. And then things sort of began to change. He started to meet people. He started to develop more of a hunger to learn about the faith. And so he joined the parish's youth, young adult group. And then he made a lot of good, really good Catholic friends who helped him. You know, he had friends at work, these friends would help him to live the Christian life. And so then he started to go to daily mass and adoration. He became an usher and a RCA teacher and then a lector. And then again, making the long story short, he's here and he's your pastor today. Now, you don't have to sign up for Bible study. You don't all have to be ushers or CCD teachers. And you don't all have to be priests. Now, maybe some of you have to be priests, but not all of you. But I do want all of you to grow in your faith and love for Jesus and His church and share that with others. And I want you to begin that today, this week, this year, in this parish where God has put you. In today's bulletin, we've included the list of parish committees and apostolates. I want you to take it home with you, and I want you to look it over, think about it, and pray about it. And then, most importantly, I want you to do something about it. You know, you can come up with lots, you can come up with that general idea, well, on this year I'm going to do better, I'm going to be more involved. No, that's not what I'm asking. This year, next week, I'm going to call and I'm going to join the ushers. Or next week, I'm going to go to Bible study. Or next week, I'm going to volunteer to work with the youth group or with Trail Life or the choir, whatever. But make a resolution, commit to it, and make it happen. I know everybody's busy. I understand that. I'm not judging anybody who says they can't be more involved. I give you that. All I know is I know several families who, it seems, I mean, they have busy lives in business and homeschooling or whatever. They're busy. And yet they're always volunteering to lead all the projects we have in the parish. I mean, I won't go into names because I don't want to embarrass anybody or leave anybody out, but I mean, I'm always amazed. They just make it happen. So it's hard for me to sometimes understand when someone says, well, I just don't have time. I accept that. But then again, I think about the fellow who a while back had a stroke, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, but by the grace of God and lots of prayers and his own efforts, he regained that, but he still had a hard time walking, and he was walking with a cane. But he came to me and he wanted to volunteer to be a lector. And I was very moved by this because he wanted to give something back because he knew everybody had been praying for him and he wanted to participate, wanted to help out. And I told him, you know, really, I'd be so nervous every time I saw you walking up the steps and, you know, I'd be afraid that you might fall and hurt yourself. And he agreed, but you know, then what he said, what else can I do then? He didn't just say, well, I can't do what I wanted to do, so forget it. So what else can I do? I understand that. What else can I do? So if you're not doing anything, do something. And if you're already doing something, ask yourself, can I or should I do something more? Not just for the good of your pastor, not for the good of the parish, but truly for your own good, and parents also for the good of your family. I hope this year of our Lord 2020 will truly be a year of a new evangelization for you and for our parish. A year in which we will first grow personally and as a parish in morality, charity, grace, prayer, and knowledge of Jesus and His church. And grow in sharing in the life of Jesus by voluntarily giving yourself, by sharing your time and talent, and living the life of Christ's love with your brothers and sisters in Christ as an integral part of the spiritual family of Jesus that is here in the parish of St. Raymond. Come, follow me, Jesus said. At once they left their nets and followed him. Praise be Jesus Christ.